Welcome to GovInnovator. I'm Andy Feldman. Our topic today is the importance of broadening access to data within the federal government. Our guest is Maria Kanchan, who recently served as a Deputy Assistant Secretary within the Administration for Children and Families at HHS. Here's a clip.
We need to move to what some have called a yes unless attitude, where we make data usable and accessible unless there's a strong reason to the contrary. In contrast, I think today we start with no. Not with yes.
Federal programs produce a lot of data, and those data can be really useful for program administrators as well as researchers to answer important questions about policy and practice. That's especially true when data can be linked across programs or surveys to make connections between, say, health and housing or job training and long-term employment. In short, data is critical to making the public sector more results-focused. But today, access to data can be so restricted that conducting these analyses and research can be really difficult. Our guest today has a vision for how that could be different and why more access to data is important. I'm glad to have Maria Kanchan with us. She's a professor of public affairs and social work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the former director of the Institute for Research on Poverty. From 2015 to earlier this year, she served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy at the Administration for Children and Families, or ACF, at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Maria, welcome.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's good to be here.
Based on your experience in government, Maria, I know from speaking with you that you had said if you could pick one thing that you could change within the federal government, not just at HHS, but across agencies that would promote better policy and practice, it would be related to data.
Absolutely. At the top of my list of attainable change, so if you're not giving me a magic wand, but something that we really could do, it would be reorienting our attitudes about using and sharing data. We really need to catch up and recognize the potential for new methods and technologies that make it possible to safely share data in ways that will improve public programs. We need to move to what some have called a yes unless attitude, where we make data usable and accessible unless there's a strong reason to the contrary. In contrast, I think today we start with no, not with yes.
And give us another layer of explanation of what yes unless looks like in practice. What does that mean?
So sometimes we use concerns about privacy and confidentiality as an excuse to avoid sharing data. Instead of doing the work necessary to effectively and safely manage information sharing so that data can be used to improve performance. Now, clearly, we need to take very seriously our duty to safeguard the privacy of the American people and the confidentiality of much of the information government agencies have about the people they serve. But that doesn't mean we have to continue to work in the dark. Instead, it means we need to hold government accountable for doing a good job protecting data while at the same time maximizing its appropriate use.
And Maria, tell us about your prioritization in terms of kind of next steps, efforts for increasing access to data, administrative data. Where would you focus your efforts?
Okay, well, I would give you three buckets, but I would prioritize two very programmatic ones first. I really think the first priority should be supporting the use and sharing of program data by public programs. I think that would support innovation and it would really support better government. Let me try to be specific about it. By sharing data across programs, I think we can improve the experience of the American people as they interact with our programs and services. So, for example, we now ask families who are interacting with various government programs to provide the same documents over and over again, or to provide proof of their participation in one program as a prerequisite for another. By improving data sharing across agencies, we can make much more efficient systems for our customers. And at the same time, we save public resources that are currently used collecting information over and over again. And I think one of the things that's really important to recognize is that the same improvements that help assure that families get the services they need will help us reduce waste, fraud, and abuse. So those are one and the same. So that's one bucket, you know, getting our systems to talk to one another so that we recognize that there aren't families who participate in just one program. Most families participate in multiple programs, multiple interactions, and being able to facilitate that across programs would be just better for everybody. I think a second bucket is making data accessible and sharing it across programs to allow program managers and policymakers to better manage and design programs. So we can build evidence-based policymaking into the fabric of programs by building it into the fabric of our data systems. You know, I'll give you just one example. There's hundreds, but I'll give you an example that's very near to my heart. Child care and child welfare are both administered within the same agency in HHS, ACF. They're also often administered in the same agency at the state and county level. In my experience working with families, I believe and I expect that families that benefit from access to high quality early childhood intervention programs and child care are less likely to end up requiring the services of the child welfare system, you know, a step that's often disruptive for families and very expensive for taxpayers. But at the federal level, and even within most states, there's no mechanism to share information and see if that's right. So we can't see if our investments, say, in childcare or Head Start have payoffs in reducing, for example, foster care. And we can't see if maybe that's true for some programs, but not others, so that we would know how to better allocate public dollars to get the best outcomes. So that's the kind of work that we need to be able to do. And it's remarkably straightforward, even, you know, to see examples of that within an agency and even more across agencies. So that's my second bucket. One is improving the user experience. The other is allowing kind of managers and policymakers to know what we're doing and what's working so that we can make better decisions. And then I'm going to say that even though I have spent most of my career as an academic researcher, often collaborating with government partners, I would say that making data available to researchers, while it can generate really important evidence for policy improvement, it shouldn't be our very first priority, because I think it ends up being used as an excuse for not creating those data linkages. Our first priority should be establishing mechanisms to make program data usable and accessible to program managers and policymakers, with researchers given access to help with evaluation and other program improvement efforts. And once we have a system that works for immediate public priorities, we have many useful models for sharing that data, often without personal identification or personal identifiers, as we call it, with outside researchers.
Tell us what it takes, in your opinion, for an agency to make this a reality. In other words, the three buckets that you just told about, in that order of priority, what does it take?
Well, you know, I really think we need to get to a yes and less place, to flip from the current practice where raising concerns about privacy and confidentiality is often a way to end the conversation, just leading to no, instead of one piece of a discussion requiring us to find solutions that balance costs and benefits. If I can, Andy, can I ask you a personal question? Do you have any credit cards?
I do.
Okay, that was an easy one. So it turns out, you know, more than 3 out of 4 Americans have a credit card. And we use our credit cards despite the fact that there's always a risk that our information will be compromised. Now, I think we do that because the benefits outweigh the risks. But we use our credit cards expecting companies to use the best technology and the best methods to keep our information safe. I think using program information and sharing it is not 100% risk-free. But the risks to families that we serve and to taxpayers of not using that data and not sharing that data are enormous. And we've really seen a bipartisan focus on evidence-based policymaking, including the establishment of the Evidence-Based Policymaking Commission. And we have the technology and the methods to share data safely. We just need to hold ourselves responsible for using the information that we have to make our programs more effective and efficient, to use the technology and methods we have to keep the data safe.
That's really well said. Maria, I know that you've said that in an agency, for it to move to a yes unless approach, that message has to come from the top. There's a leadership element to this story or to this goal of increasing data access.
Yes. I mean, I think there's a lot that can be done within the current parameters, but we need leadership to make it clear that data security is a challenge we need to meet, not an excuse for action. And I think right now it's just the case, you see a lot just use the newspaper. Every time there's a data breach, every time any data is used inappropriately, it makes the front page of the newspaper. Every time we waste money or do something badly or continue a program or don't continue a program without the benefit of understanding if that program is working, that doesn't really make the papers. So this is really a place where we need leadership from the top to say, we need the U.S. government and state and local governments to use technology and data the same way they're used so effectively by many private sector companies to understand what our customers, what the American people need, to understand what we're providing and how we can provide that better. And we need to not just say we can't, we need to figure out the best ways to do that effectively and safely, always respecting privacy, and always doing everything we can to assure it, but not using it as an excuse for not moving forward. Now, I think there are technical issues, there are legal issues, there are governance issues, but we have a number of models in other jurisdictions. There are states that have made some progress. There are some large cities, for example, New York, that have really made tremendous progress in managing these challenges. There used to be technical issues, but those have largely been resolved. There are some legal issues that are related, for example, to the Privacy Act that probably require some legislation to really get as far as we should. But mostly this is just a question of keeping up with the times. The technology has really changed since the Privacy Act was drafted. And I don't think most of us envisioned the kinds of capacities that we have now to safely share information, to transfer information from one place to another without storing it in a place where it would be vulnerable. There's a whole set of innovations that really need to be taken on.
A final question for you. You've noted that internal resources are really important for helping programs not only access the data, but also analyze and use the data. In other words, it's really a two-pronged strategy that we need. One is opening up access to data, but the other is building new capacity within agencies to use those data. Tell us more about that.
That is fair to say, and I would say that not only is that necessary for using the data, but it's necessary for building the both political and the institutional will to do the work to make the data accessible. So if somebody creates a program for me so that I can quote unquote see all the data for my program, but I don't have expertise in how to analyze those data, then I'm not really going to get anything out of it as a program manager, and I'm not really going to see why I should commit resources to making those data available. So we need a much more integrated system where we, when we're creating a data system, we recognize the need that this administrative data system has to help, say, caseworkers process benefits for clients or evaluate whether somebody gets up to participate in a particular program. But that same system has to create and provide information for program managers and policymakers to evaluate how well that program's working. And that same system has to have the capacity to share data with other systems. Sometimes when you talk with program folks, they say, well, that's not really my job. You know, my job is running this program. I don't, you know, really have the expertise. I can't really think about these other issues. And I think what I would say is, we sort of used to have that attitude about data security, but today if a program manager said, you know, I can't worry about data security, I'm just running this program, keeping the data safe isn't part of my job, we would find that totally unacceptable. We understand that a key element of any good public data system has to be to maintain the security, confidentiality, privacy of that information. In that same way, we need to recognize that a fundamental piece of every system has to be the ability to analyze data and has to be the ability to share that data with other systems that are serving the same individuals or that are trying to address some of the same problems so that we can reduce duplicative services, so that we can make sure families are getting everything that they need, so that we can make better use of the resources that we have.
Maria, given the Evidence-Based Policymaking Commission that just launched, it is hard to think of a more important time to get your insights on these topics. So thank you for being with us, and good luck as you transition back to UW-Madison and to my home state of Wisconsin. And congratulations on your important service to the federal government.
Thanks, Andy.